Guess what decision we're about to make.
Horrible decision.
Hey, hoes and tricks. Welcome to yet another episode. No, not that either. Okay, welcome to yet another episode, guys, of Horrible Decisions. I am one half of this podcast right here that you're tuned into. My name is Mandy B, and I am sitting right next to...
Hi, I'm Weezy. We have a guest here who's like, have you ever done a podcast before? We just had to do this shit 8 fucking times, you guys.
We did not do it 8 times.
Just 5.
We just did it a few times.
How would you open? Do you have a podcast, Lola?
I had a podcast. It's since pretty much indefinitely done, but I'm starting a new one that's about fantasy football, so absolutely nothing to do with
Can
that.
You try I to give us it. A new intro? Just like try to improv it right now.
I actually just like starting a conversation, so then you jump into it right in the middle of the conversation.
Oh, you're one of those.
I love
type
those
of
podcasts. What does
that
mean?
I do that on my other pod.
Same.
And I don't know if I really like it because sometimes we'll really be talking and it's just like I have to tell Parks, okay, Parks, start it now. Like, so I don't know. I do like the intro type of,
actually,
hey,
like
this is
listening
me.
To people talk.
Yeah, so I like...
You're like getting a snippet of
it. I like it that way.
Like, right, but when you control your boards and you and... It's you and Eddie, so that makes sense. But when we have someone where, like, say we're just really having a conversation and it's just like, damn, this is really what I want on the mic, but the engineer doesn't know that this is really what I want on the mic. So we have to be like, all right, now press play, get this.
And you know what I think I like it combo. So casual, though? Like, I was recently telling somebody in conversation of... trying to learn to interview, trying to take breath, trying to hold questions so that you're not interrupting, right? Things like that. I was like, that's why I prefer to feel conversational so the pressure isn't on for the interview. Because no, I'm not a rude person or want to interject and, you know, make someone feel bad. But why does it keep happening to me? And I've like really been trying to learn why the cutting off is going on. And I'm like, well, as long as I start the podcast with a conversation and not formal, they won't be mad that I'll fuck up.
Nope. They are and they will and they were forever. Still be upset.
All right, well,
that there's some cutting off going on. Anyways, though, I do want to introduce our guest for this week's episode. By the way, I couldn't tell because you have curls.
Yes.
Are you white?
I am white.
Okay, so yeah. You're only one of the handful that we've had here on this podcast.
Oh, I feel so honored.
So, you know, there's
like you
there's
really
pressure.
Have to be a good one, seriously. Yeah.
there's pressure, but no.
Can you imagine if we had a bad, like we've had some black people on there, they were problematic and we found out later. Can you imagine if that happened with somebody white we had on?
Oh yeah, you can't be problematic.
You can't fuck
I'll
up
tell you all my shit. I'll
never
tell you
do
that.
It. Yeah. When you're out at a fucking comedy club when they're back open and someone makes a black joke, hold it in.
What?
Hold the
oh
laugh
my God,
in.
Shut up, Weezy. Anyways, guys, we are joined today by Lola Jean, the squirting queen. And I actually found her through Tiana, who was a former guest, former previous past, all of that, guests of ours on this show. And so just so you guys know, if you ever had any questions, wanted myths debunked, wanted to learn maybe how to.
Is
or
it piss?
We're going to, no.
No, tell us right now.
Answering that right now. You saw the motherfucking outline.
I didn't even look at it. Just tell
this
us it's peeing.
This is why
bro.
She don't follow.
It's a bro. Podcast.
Right,
is it pee,
but
man?
I have an outline and I want people to really, I want to know. We're going to debunk all of the stuff about squirting in the horrible decision this week.
You know what's being.
Is this what we're doing?
It's fucking pee.
Is this what we're doing?
Honestly, I've kind of seen
you didn't
question.
Do anything.
She's control freaking right now.
I am control freaking right now because, bitch, I really focused on this outline here. Damn. Anyways, you finished or you done? You know what? My whole bet just about to be turned to you. This
if you guys are watching
episode.
On YouTube, you will see that we have been having a whole conversation telepathically, damn near lip syncing, like,
and you got no answers. Anywho, you are the squirting queen, and I did want to ask you because it's in your bio.
Yes,
is it really true that you hold the record for volume squirting?
Yes, it's true. I set the record, and I have kept the record.
How do you
the
know?
The world record
was
Tiana.
Guinness?
Was the, Tiana helped me plan it? She measured the squirt. That was
so,
kind of like
okay,
the best
volume, volume squirting, is it the amount or the distance you shot it?
Volume. So it's not the velocity.
What, bruh? Volume, velocity, whatever.
I don't have control over my velocity.
Bro, the fuck is your problem, Weezy?
Nothing. You're not even looking at me. Just go, dude. And then take it off the TV so Mandy can't see what I'm doing. Please.
No, keep it here, sir.
Volume 50, means...
50-50. I'll call the lawyer if we have to break this up. Okay? Keep it up there on the goddamn TV. But volume is amount.
Amount, yeah.
How much you squirted?
So I did it. So it's not a Guinness record because Guinness is a family organization, but I did it by Guinness standards. which means I use the unit of milliliters.
So, but who'd you compare it to?
What?
Who do you compare it to know you hold the record?
Oh, so for, I mean, no one had it. So I emailed Guinness. I signed up. I like all the forms. And they're like, sorry, we're a family organization. We don't do that. So basically did some researching. If I have enough journalists, witnesses, I'll have it. But I did it to Guinness standards. So within Guinness, you do things within a 1 minute, 2 minute or 60 minute period. Not doing 60.
Yeah.
So I did 1 minute period and then measured it. The stipulations were of only the assistance of one's person. So meaning my hand. So no toys, no partners.
Whose stipulation was that?
Me.
Oh.
My hand. Yeah.
I was like, they were like, we're a family organization, but hey, we will let you know.
We will send someone.
So do you have to film it for it to be like, how do you prove it?
Yeah.
You had to film it?
Well, I did film it. It was on a documentary for Epics called Sex Life. But I had an event because I don't do things small. So I had a kinky carnival with about 300 people that were there. We reached capacity, which I didn't think would happen. So sorry to the people that were waiting outside. But I had a whole event and there was the culmination. The witnesses were there. Usually you have like a Guinness person.
Yeah.
It's going to be for Guinness. But yeah, it was. There were enough witnesses, journalists. It's on TV.
How much did you have to drink prior to this event?
So, and I do squirting performances as well. And when I do this, I like prep my body, but I really think it's all mental because I drink a lot of water, but I'm also peeing for the next like 3 hours afterwards. And I've been like dehydrated and then squirted a lot. So I drank a decent amount of water to make sure there was like ample water ready in my
pee.
Body. No.
Hey, bruh, we ain't gonna do this the whole episode, bruh.
But like,
hey, nah, bruh, I got beef right now with you.
So do I.
Should we address
people,
it now?
This is like a...
We done talked about
this is a constant conversation.
We have definitely
talked
about
it. To the point where if someone brings up squirting, we talk about it, right? Tell us the contrast with why, because obviously in order to squirt, you need to be hydrated. But at the same time, how
actually,
is it...
No.
Because, but they say that you're unable to even have your vagina be lubricated to even be wet if you're dehydrated. So you're drinking water. You said you're normally.
You just need patience.
I was about to say, I disagree with that only because we've also talked about drinking liquor does dehydrate your body. But just because I'm drunk or just because I've been drinking doesn't necessarily mean that I won't be wet that night.
But I'm not talking about fluids. I'm talking about water.
Well, yeah, how much percentage of our bodies are water? It's like something ridiculous.
Something like the earth, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like 80% water.
But I'm saying, saying it's not pee, right? Like, so when people say that it's urine, even when they're testing squirt, there is some urine in there. Like, just let's talk about how it's not. Because you said it's
she
not.
She said, we going to talk
we
about this
right now.
We had a
doctor on this said it was.
Do you see this shit, Edit?
What do you mean? What is so crazy about what I'm doing right now?
Well, we'll talk, like, firstly, it's squirt. That's why we call it squirt. Otherwise, we'd call it sexy pee.
Okay.
If we're going to talk about like the research that goes into it, a lot of like the research that goes into squirting, the studies like have a control of like 10 people or something. And
okay.
Like when it's the ones where it's like, let's see if everyone can squirt. It's like, well, how are you stimulating these people? Are you recognizing that each person has their own like learned experience with their body? But for what it constitutes of, I think that when we're studying squirting, we should be studying people who reliably squirt. But that's hard to do within a control.
Now, with the porn stars, like we interviewed, I can't remember her name. It was really early on, but she said that squirting porn stars were drinking mad water, right? And in that point, is squirting on command pee? Like, can you squirt on command and it actually be squirt? Or are those instances actually pee?
So I have, and maybe I can bring them on in the future, but I have had submissives where I have peed in their mouth and then squirted in their mouth and like gone back and forth. And it's physically like a different experience. I feel like it's similar to like people with penises when they're like going from pee mode to cum mode and they have to like rejigger their body. I really like that you used that analogy. Yeah.
Because there is a difference between a man jizzing on you and a man peeing on you.
Yeah. And they both come out of the urethra.
What's the difference with the consistency?
Of pee and squirt?
That you've noticed when you did it?
The consistency of it coming out isn't very dissimilar. The smell is different. Mm-hmm. The look of it is different. I've collected it in cups. The people that have drank it can tell you it's different.
And the color sometimes is of course
cloudier.
Different.
They're both warm coming out of the body. When it sits for a while, then the smell of it can be take something on different. But I always say when I squirt, it smells like cereal milk. Like, it smells kind of oaty.
Ooh, wait, what type of cereal?
Like, brand cereal. No.
Huh.
But so I was teaching this class once and this woman came up to me afterwards. She's like, hey, I'm a midwife. And what you're describing that your squirt smells like is similar when like people, their water breaks and they're like, call her and they're like, hey, did my water break? And she's like, smell it. If it smells like pee, you peed. If it smells like wheat, then your water broke. Go, you're going to be in labor.
What does that mean?
Your poo, I don't know.
I was about to say glue. Your pussy got glued.
I wanted to kind of, because we are going to be talking about squirting a lot this episode. I want to take this into kind of just a catch up. I know that, you know, the world is opening a little bit back up. Fuck Texas and Mississippi. They even eliminated their mask mandate. But I wanted to talk to you because as someone who, like you said, had events and you performed, how has the pandemic affected you in relationships in the bedroom? And you said it has affected your wholeness. So I would love to know, like, because, I mean, we've just been in relationships. So
I'm still fucking niggas.
Okay, so maybe it hasn't affected her.
Has been trying to push this agenda on me.
I've been getting dick, man.
Oh, okay. All right, my bad.
There's only one relationship decision that's on the straight and narrow.
Relationship, but I guess we're not straight and narrow with it. But yes, but I mean, even for me, we've, like, the amount of things
you're monogamish.
I mean, we go to sex clubs, but I just know that if the world was open, we probably would have done so much more by now if it was.
I miss group sex so much.
I mean, I still
you haven't had it?
Oh, I haven't had it, like, since the pandemic.
Oh, you're, like, a safe person.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because niggas is fucking.
The way these nuts are still happening with multiple people.
I've done, like,
people.
Some of the digital sex parties. I've gone to maybe a couple in person, but it just doesn't.
You squirt on the webcam?
No, you got to pay for that shit.
I mean, like, when you've had to, like, you do digital parties.
Because I'm also a public figure, I'm a little weird about what goes where for,
depending. So how did the pandemic affect your wholeness?
So I entered my very first of my life relationship at the beginning of the pandemic.
Oh.
But he was even more safe than I was. So I didn't even see him for the first 2 months of that.
What? Oh. You met him online?
No, like, we had been kind of, like, dating and seeing each other beforehand, but then once the pandemic started, I was in London for all of March. I came back, quarantined, and I was like, then we got serious, but he's like, we can't see each other until this is over. And I'm like,
Wait, he lives in the UK?
No, he lives in New York. We see each other now.
Now.
It's fine.
Oh, yeah, okay. Because in the beginning, I was wearing gloves and shit. Like,
I was
changing the glove. Like, if I opened the doorknob, I changed the glove to then, like, touch my phone to then, bro, I thought I was going to die.
March and April were scary, scary times.
And I probably, because, like, I got tested in July and I had the antibodies and I was, like, I had no idea.
That means
I probably had it when I was coming back from the UK. And, like, I quarantined, my roommate didn't get it.
That's science, and science been lying because apparently you only got antibodies for 3 months after you catch it.
No, I, like, tracked it. There was a lot. It was, like, over 100. If you're over one, you have antibodies. And I was, like, 100 and something.
Oh, they had, like, an antibody count, like your eggs?
Yeah, I don't know what the numbers meant, but they were a lot.
Look at you. You got a lot of squirt and a lot of antibodies.
That is funny. I wanted to get into our vanilla shit because I wonder if maybe this even, you were able to do it more because you weren't seeing your partner. Mm. It came off of your page. So you were... I guess, questioned for bustle in this article that said that there are 11 examples of dirty talk that have nothing to do with gender. Mm-hmm. And so we've talked about dirty talk on here a lot, from sexting to doing it in the bedroom.
Do you guys like it?
I'm trying to think right now. Things that don't have to do with gender.
That don't have to do with gender.
You make my pussy feel so good.
No, that is gender. You cannot say...
Mine.
So, no, that's what I'm saying. No, that's a part of gender talk.
Even if I'm talking about my own, I thought it meant the other person.
No, because it's bringing up...
Oh, okay.
I mean, genitals technically don't have gender, but...
Wet?
But, like, even still, it's like, can you be more vague?
Yeah, like, how much more vague can you be if you don't mention the
dick? You make me so horny. Fuck, you look so good. You turn me on so much. You're gonna make me come. Let me think. I just tell people how hot they are when I'm about to come, actually. It's weird. That's how much of a giver I am. I'm about to come and I'm like, oh my God, you look so good.
So I want to ask you, because you were in here, you said, try giving your partner options to decide what they want. It's a choose your own adventure, you said. For example, if you come home and are about to have sex, you can ask your partner what they want. Do they want to be teased for a bit first? Do they want you to slowly remove their clothes one button at a time? Maybe even with your mouth. Or do they want you to rip their clothes off and climb on top of them? What would be some of... I would ask you, outside of maybe even the article, what would you say would be some dirty talking that relinquishes gender?
So in general, I prefer my dirty talk as like the lead up to sex. Like, honestly, even when it comes to BDSM, when I'm in sex, like that's usually enough stimuli for me. I don't need a lot of other bells and whistles besides that. But beforehand, actually, it's probably my favorite part of sex. So without it being about gender, it's more about like how the person makes me feel, how like just thinking about them makes me lose control of my body, of thinking about the way that they touch me or the things that I want to do to them. Like none of these things have to involve like genitals or just more the classic like, oh, your cock so hard, your pussy's so wet, I can't wait to like ride you, all those different things. It's more about like I'm thinking about your hand tracing down my chest and then grabbing my ass behind me.
So the dirty talk, I see this also as number two. This is something that me and my partner have been doing a lot recently, and it's almost like a cat and mouse game as far as who's in control of what.
Oh, you're a brat and a switch?
Yes. So I like, we'll get into character and he'll be like, oh, you're going to get it when I see you type of thing. Like I'm going to be punished when I see him for talking to him the way I did. And, or I'll be like, listen, when you pick me up, you just go where I tell you to go. So we have like this huge, like little, like, play with who's the dominant, who's the lead. And it's so funny because I go in and out because he is very dominant. So I'll be like, if I say, I hope, he said, oh, you broke character. All right, we got to get out of this. Because if I leave anything up to him to be in control, technically that's not me taking on the full dom role. And so I would say like our dirty talking back and forth has a lot to do with us playing mind games on who really is in control.
It's a lot of power play.
There's a whole lot of power play. And
it's just going back and forth.
And I'm doing it now, and I'm doing it now on some like, just listen, or I'm telling you what to do. And it has nothing to do with sex. It's everything to do with the power of the relationship. And it's so sexy because we really take what we're saying, even if it means him driving me somewhere, we take it back to ourselves thinking of the bedroom. And so that's kind of where I do. Do you do
it any? It makes any activity infinitely more fun.
No, seriously. Do you have any type of dirty talk that doesn't involve literally dirty talking about sex or the bedroom? Like, have you played with dirty talk in any other type of way?
Most recently when I was in LA, I slept with somebody that I don't want to say I shouldn't have slept with, but we've never slept together. And the entire time we kept talking about like how bad it was that we were doing it, which I thought was really fun.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It's wrong.
It like nothing about it was wrong. Like mine was consensual. I didn't like not let my partner know about it. Like he's single, but it was like really fun because we knew it was going to happen. Like, you know, when you know you're about to fuck somebody, but you don't know when.
That's so fun. That's and like all the tension.
And when I was going down on him, he was just like, he made me laugh. Because he goes, Wheezy, okay. Like, I was showing off. I'm like, what the fuck? But I was. Because we've known each other. And I was like, oh, I'm not about to not let you think you've been listening to my podcast and you know I can suck dick. Like, I have to suck this dick. And then I, like, literally had to stop. I was like, dude, like, don't call me Wheezy right now. Like, it's throwing me off.
I want to ask both of y'all, do you feel that pressure now with having sex with new people that you have to perform because of what they know you do for a living?
New people,
No.
Not new people, but people that, like, if I've ever talked shit about my sex game to them, like,
it lives for it. Like, it speaks for itself, specifically with squirting.
Look at me.
Yeah.
Hello. I have a world record.
Specifically with squirting, though, because the deal is that, like, my body works most of the time. It doesn't work all the time. And I don't want to be under a pressure to perform at a performance level squirtathon.
Right.
And I've had people that fetishize it and they'll just be like, oh, that doesn't seem like as much for what you can do. It's like, I don't want to be on while we're fucking. I just want to have fun. I don't want to be feel pressured to orgasm.
A guy has said that?
Yeah.
After sex, like, oh, I thought it was going to be more.
Oh, yeah, he's done. Because, like, actually, that was the last time I fucked around with a squirt fetishizer. My current partner now, it's, like, perfect because sometimes I fucking hate squirting. And sometimes I'm like, let's go destroy that bed. And he's just kind of indifferent about it. He's like, it's a thing your body does.
Can you control it?
I can control when I do it. I can't control when I don't do it.
Does that make sense? Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's so funny that you even say that too, because I'm so spoiled now. Like, my partner doesn't really care for nudes or videos sent to him. I can't imagine going back to talking to a guy who wants nudes and videos all the fucking time.
Because unless you like doing it. I like doing it. And I hate doing it.
Like, it's a fucking production.
Maybe because I'm not being asked, though.
Yeah.
I love sending a surprise post, depending on the person.
And it's depending on how much they enjoy it. But I think I like it more when there's, like, a dom-sub dynamic. So I'm in an open relationship. That relationship is, like, pretty vanilla. It's not kinky. But then I have my other kink shit on the side, too.
Oh, wait. That's open. But do you guys talk about what you do with your other partners?
He prefers not to, which, like, I don't really like a don't ask, don't tell, but I understand it. Because I don't want to feel like I'm hiding something from my person.
You know?
So he's like, you're doing other stuff. That's cool. Like, don't need to hear about it.
I had an instance recently where, like I said, I went to LA and had sex. And I think old bae asked me maybe two questions, like, max. He didn't ask me anything about what he looked like, what he did for a living, nothing. He didn't even ask me if I had fun. It was kind of like, so when was this? Was it the night that we were talking and you were fucked up? Or was it the night you were at dinner? And I was like, oh, he's trying to gauge when I'm a hoe. Like, I really, and I was like, eh. And I actually was kind of waiting, like, it's going to be some point where he wants to know who or, like, how, but, like, no. And I think some people just genuinely can't handle, like,
the fucked up part is that, like, I have so many people I'm friends with who I've had sex with once. Maybe we met on a dating app and, like, we had sex and we're like, you're cool. Let's hang out and just be friends. And, like, we haven't had sex since, or even if we had. So it's one of those things where I'm like, do you want to know if it's someone I fucked when we meet them? Because it's also going to be, like, a lot of people.
Most people do. Most people need to know if they're in the presence of someone you've slept with.
Very interesting.
Which I only think I've liked to know because I find women to be, like, kind of, I don't know about men. Actually, people ain't shit. I'll take that back. But, like, I do want to know because I just want to know if there will ever be a moment or if I should gauge that person. Like, I trust my partner more than I would an outside person. But he's got, like, two homegirls that he's fucked. And, like, I don't know if they're still fucking or would again, but they've been around and I was all right.
But see, I feel like my boyfriend just knows that I am, like, a hoe at heart.
Yeah.
And so I feel the need to over-explain myself when I'm really just going out and this is a friend. This isn't, I'm not fucking them. I haven't done it. Like, while we've been together, I've been flued out, but by a homeboy. And I feel like I've had to over explain how, I promise though, me and him have never had sex. I've never sucked his dick. I don't know what his dick looks like. And I think he'd just be like, yeah, sure. And so.
Yeah, but maybe not. You don't know. I mean, if you're an open person, I don't think that, I think we assume men think that we're liars or that hoes are going to hoe.
Hoes are deceitful.
I feel like my partner knows how big of a hoe that I... Okay, so this is a disgusting story. But during the pandemic, I'm kind of a gross person. I'm not very clean.
Okay.
Gotten a little bit better. But
we know, white people don't take baths. Wait, real quick. Do you wash your legs?
Yeah, well, yeah. Like, I shave them and then wash them.
Oh, but you only wash them when you shave them?
Yeah.
You're so
white.
That
is the white thing.
You don't wash your legs?
There was a thing that went on Twitter that basically said white people don't wash their legs.
Do you eat? Do you cook chicken out of the package?
No, you wash it.
Yeah. Good for you.
Okay. You got so, we gonna give you a little, okay.
I think I'm pretty gross though in general. And, like, so I would store things under my bed and just, like, kind of leave them there. And we
things like
moving,
what? Like clothes?
Well, honestly, like clothes, but, like, things in boxes. So I have all my kink shit in a
box.
That's
not that bad.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's not bad, but the point is I don't know what's underneath it there as well. So we moved my bed around and we're cleaning underneath of it. And my partner is, like, under the bed. I can only see his feet coming out, like he's working on a car. And at one point I just see him come out and he's like, oh, gross. And I'm, like, thinking he found a cockroach or something.
I thought it was a condom.
I'm thinking a used condom.
Yeah, he comes out with a used condom. And I don't know. Personally, I don't even know if there was jizz in it or not. And I also don't know how long it's been there.
Well,
okay. Can I be honest? So,
be honest.
when I lived in the Lower East Side, mind you, I still live there, but everybody, some of you know, I moved to Brooklyn for a few months during the pandemic. When I moved to Brooklyn was when I moved my bed. The bed has, are they called slats or slats?
Yeah.
You know, they got slats, so they got holes in it. And when I had the moving men come in, and they moved my bed. It wasn't a used condom, but there was, like, four or five wrappers. But
that's what has been under my bed.
I realize it's because when I was fucking hospital dick, right? Like we were like, my bed was pushed in the corner. I think maybe he just threw. I don't know what happened.
That is what happened because they fling their condoms everywhere.
Men, they do. Men,
on the floor.
Can we get a poll? I don't know how YouTube is.
But we should feel good about having condoms anyway. No,
yeah, but yeah. Can we do a poll as to why men just.
Why do they?
Men literally, first off, when they take the condom out, then the wrapper gets thrown.
I do too.
But then also when they pull it off their dick a lot of times, if they're not one of those that think you're going to fucking steal their cum and then they have to go flush it down the toilet, there's other guys that literally
Mandy
just...
Mandy fucks really rich guys.
I only fuck one person now, but I used to fuck really, really rich guys. And maybe it was just a really rich guy thing to do, but they literally used to take their condoms off and literally while it was full, go and bring it to the bathroom and flush it.
At least they got rid of it.
They did not want their jizz just laying around. But I don't understand why men literally just be flinging condoms around a room.
I've like stepped on one when I get out of the bed. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why is it on the floor?
You said, wait, we do have a guy in the room. Why do y'all just throw condoms around?
We'll get to it eventually.
What do you mean? But you never do. And then what if we've used two or three and now I can't find them?
When I open a condom, though, I do fling the wrapper, now that I think about it.
It's kind of hot. What do you do? Okay, hold on one second.
The wrapper's different when, like, when the...
Yeah, that's right.
You don't have sex. When the condom's on your penis and you take it off, like, go to the trash can.
Why would you not... Yeah.
Get up and put it in the trash can.
Look, yeah. So men are just lazy, is what you're saying.
But you know how unsexy that is for me to be my pants off and take off the...
Nah, we out here making consent sexy. We gonna make it sexy for y'all niggas.
We should ask this. Doing anything. Does anyone have a trash can in their bedroom?
I do.
Yeah. For, like, that reason.
Wait.
For that reason.
Wait, now that I think about it, my new room does not have a trash can yet.
So I only have a trash can in my room anymore,
so
I have a makeup, like, vanity. And, like, that's why I need it in my room.
Oh, see, I don't have a vanity anymore.
I didn't.
I don't have a vanity anymore. But so, yeah.
Get up.
Yes, Eden. Be respectful so that we're not finding fucking five wrappers under the bed or a fucking used...
Hey, I'm a fun time. And I feel like when they when they lifted up that mattress and I saw it under the slats...
Did they look at you as soon as they... Did y'all like... Do
oh,
the, like,
I said it. And they made me feel so much better. Like,
what'd they say?
So first off, I went with a black-owned moving company and they was already cool. So, right? So they lift up the mattress and saw the condoms. And I was like, and they was like, hey, man, you said you had a sex podcast. It's cool. Like, do your thing, sis. And then the dude said, honestly, he said, to make you feel better, he said, we find food. He's like, I found tampons under here. He was like really nasty stuff. And he was like, this ain't shit. So
Okay. See, well, that's good.
It was hair ties and condom wrappers.
Hair ties and condom wrappers. That sounds like
you
have a really good time. You have a really good time. I want to get into our Black Sexcellence for this week. Black Sexcellence, for those of you who don't know, we kind of like to pay homage to those who came before us, but may still be presently doing the work that needs to be done in terms of sexual liberation and the movement, just for all of us, sex workers and all. So this one is Delisha Saw and Rafaela Fialo. I would love also for you guys to come on the pod if you can. They are the co-founders of Afrosexology, which is a movement with the mission to promote Black self-empowerment through sex positivity and sexual liberation. Their work is aimed at the Black community across gender, sexual orientation, age, size, and religious lines. Through conference presentations, they also address the sexual health and freedom of professional communities. And you should follow them because they're Black, they're dope. They also have a Pillow Talk blog, and you can follow them on their social media accounts. I've been following Afrosexology for quite some time, so I would love for you guys to come on. And again, shout out to everyone really doing the work. Like, we appreciate you because I feel like we doing the work too. But y'all heard a couple weeks ago, Black Sexcellence was us. And so we hope that you guys enjoyed that questions episode when we did it. I want to get into the hors d'oeuvre. And this article came from Vice.com, and I'm hoping that you have some sort of expertise in this because there are a ton of tips. But basically, I found an article on Vice that is the beginner's guide to nipple orgasms.
Oh, see, that means you're hardwired.
My nipples aren't sensitive at all. I wish they were.
Mine either.
Maybe you need to get your tits done because I feel mine.
Do you really?
Maybe because they, like, I mean, this is a weird thing
because big boobs too. That's why maybe.
Wait, is that
you think it's because they're big?
You think a big?
I have big boobs too. I don't know if it's like spread out more or something like that. But the nerves, the nerves. Like I can barely feel anything.
I was talking to a friend of mine who just got her boobs done. She was like, I can't feel them at all, and I was like, yo, I am so sensitive. Like the wind, bro. My nipples are constantly hard. Sounds people like tell me all the time on YouTube.
So I wanted to share
orgasm from your nipples being stimulated.
Yeah, wait, can you?
I have to touch my own sometimes.
And you know what's crazy?
I could come without it, but like I don't come from touching them, but I need them touched. Even when I masturbate.
It's so crazy because for whatever reason,
with like my ankle and then
whatever reason too, we associate, I think, nipples to be a feminine part of a body. So I've actually had quite a few partners, males, who like while they're on top or while you're riding to like stimulate their nipples. And a lot of girls I know actually have a problem. Yeah, like.
Do you guys remember SNF? The guy, the older gentleman fucked in the Hamptons?
No.
So.
Oh, yes, I do.
He was a friend of Anthony's. Anthony came on and did an episode about being a player like years back. And he was really funny. So I was going through a breakup. I was like, oh my God, I need to fuck somebody. So I go to the Hamptons with this guy, 4th of July weekend. And he had a Vaughn in his name, which is how you know he was rich. Like something. My friend used to call him Douche Von Douche. I go to the Hamptons with him. We have a fucking great time. We actually didn't have sex there. We had sex when we came back home. And after a night at the fucking Box.
There you go.
And we're fucking. And he tells me before we start fucking that he likes his nipples touched. But so much so to where literally I tried to turn around to get fucked. And he was like, oh, actually, like my nipples aren't stimulated that way. And I was like, what? So then I'm like annoyed. And I thought he was very attractive. So we start fucking again. I'm about to come. I'm touching my clit to come. And he like literally takes my hand off my own clit to put it back on his nipples.
He said,
so I tell our mutual friend this story and he listens. He gets quiet and he goes, that sick nipple fuck. And I call him SNF now.
I remember that
we call
story.
Him sick nipple fuck.
I did want to give some tips to those of you who are interested, or maybe you're someone who does become aroused or can orgasm from nipple play.
I don't receive them well.
It's so crazy. Like, and I don't mind playing with nipples. I actually love licking male nipples. I love, like, I don't mind making a part of me
making
really
what?
Making nipples hard. Like, so a part of me doesn't really get to see soft dicks often because, you know, niggas just be hard.
Love a good soft
you know what I mean?
That's right, queen.
You like that's a flaccid fun. Dick?
Yeah.
No, see,
you don't see it that often.
I like flaccid nipples so that then I can make them rise. I don't know why I really have a thing with
fucking good.
What?
So I can make them rise. Let me ask you.
Like bread, okay? Like what? The yeast rises. So here are some tips for our hors d'oeuvre segment regarding nipple orgasms. Of course, you could try various techniques, like lightly squeezing them, and then you can move around in circular motion the areola. You can also try gadgets, of course. Did we talk about nipple clamps with Troy?
I don't remember.
But there are nipple clamps. That is
like
something.
Suction ones too.
And I don't like clamps.
You don't like clamps?
I think I'm too sensitive.
Oh, yeah. See, and I've never, like, I'm not going to lie. And I think I've said it on this show. I thought that men licking my tits at one point was for them. I didn't know it was ever supposed to be for me because I'm like you.
It sometimes is for them. Like, the way I feel about it is I tell people, like, hey, I don't have sensation on my nipples, but I'm open to being surprised. One time someone, like, deep-throated my tit, and that felt good.
Wait, your whole tit was deep?
They just got as much in their mouth as they could, so my nipple was hitting a different part, and it just felt, I think, honestly, it's because
bro, wait, what size is your breast?
Double D.
Who is deep-throating a double D titty?
Yeah, like, just as much as they can, not the whole thing.
He just A for effort.
Yeah.
I sucked a dick so deep, it was a hospital dick once, and he goes, you tried to die last night.
Yeah, well, I had to tell my nigga he can't deep throat this fucking throat anymore because I speak for a living and he fucked up my vocal cords.
Don't you find that the problem when you tell people that, like, if your nipples aren't sensitive, they just think, oh, harder.
That I don't like. Yeah. And what's crazy is the only time I have sensitive nipples is literally the week before my period. And then they hurt so bad, I've literally had to be like, can you just not even touch my breasts at all?
Really?
They hurt. Like, that's how I know Aunt Flo about to come and be not bitch, I'm here, is because my tits hurt.
Or download an app, Mandy.
No, bitch. I just know my body. The tits hurt. Blood
I want
coming soon.
Mandy to have a period tracker app so bad.
I don't know why. Do you have a period tracker app? Does it matter to you?
So I don't really get my period.
Oh. Yeah. Like, we both said, oh. Yeah. But would you? Is it that important to you?
No.
Me neither.
Oh, you don't need to know when you're ovulating?
I have an IUD.
That's what. That's like, what.
And I don't need to know neither, but because before, I am pro-choice.
But you can get creep on.
But I'm pro-choice. Bitch, it's $500. Slurp that thing right out. Anyways, also, what? Okay. What, bro? Because if I don't care about pregnancy, what am I tracking the ovulation for?
That's a good point.
Mandy, you know what I mean? Barely have time to do a lot of things. Do you have time for an abortion and recovery?
Apparently, it's only like 2 days now. So they got better.
What do you mean now?
I've had friends that had abortions and the shit. They was like back to work like 2 days later.
I'm not going to front.
Got it on Friday. Was back at work on Monday.
How was yours? Mine, I feel like.
You think I remember my abortion from 16?
I do.
I don't. And my mom tricked me. I was like, 17, I lost my appetite. That bitch was like, here you go. Gave me a motherfucking placebo pill. And bitch, I was eating Arby's same day. She said, see, here you go. And then she was like, bitch, that was a sugar pill. You ate. Nothing wrong with you, ho. And bitch, I was right back. Bitch, I was even on the volleyball team same time.
Okay, mm-hmm.
Went right back to work.
Let them know.
Yeah, but I don't remember like feeling any pain. Like I got it right before school started, but I know that first week I had to try out for the volleyball team, and my abortion didn't stop me from making the team.
Good for you.
Thank you.
You and your unborn baby made the team.
Why are we this way?
Teen volleyball players.
Why are we this way? All right,
someone in the comments. Do you remember the fuck them kids thing I posted and people were upset?
That's literally how I feel.
There's like a great video I posted on Horrible Decisions page. Oh,
they hated you for
it. It got like 800 shares only because people can't just comment and
it
say
was
it's
so
hilarious.
Bad. It was so
it basically
bad.
Said me supporting my friend at the abortion clinic, and there's a girl with a speaker who's like dancing with a speaker and there's a song that goes, fuck them kids. No, fuck them kids.
I'm not gonna lie. It's hard for me now, like, and I mean I make light of it and joke of it, and it's really bad as I guess a woman to do it, because of course, like, reproduction is such a major part of apparently our existence to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. In this world, that's how they view us. That's how they value us. And it's been a little harder for me, honestly, to start to have these jokes about me not wanting
kids. Honey, it hasn't. You just said, yeah, it's just
I mean, it is just 500.
Here's Mandy.
But like, some honestly, people don't want kids too.
Honestly,
it's a great song.
And you know what? That's the thing too. Like, I had the argument with my friends, because my mom is always just like, you can't not like someone's child. And I'm like, why? They're human. They're going to grow up to be shitty adults. I don't have to wait till they're 18 to not
wait,
like
you
them.
Like, don't Christ. Like people's
yeah,
babies?
Yeah, there's people's kids that I just might not like because I don't like how they act like and shit. And I'm like, that's the type of person I don't like. So I don't care if it's an adolescent.
Well, you don't have to like every person.
What,
so why
why are you looking at me like this?
Baby Mandy, or like an asshole?
Like a child, like an asshole.
Because there's an
child.
Age where you can start becoming an asshole.
Wait, what?
What's the age?
Yeah. What's the age, Weezy?
Once you can talk.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
You know what I mean?
You know, or no? Yeah. Actually, once
or,
you can
are they related
up,
to you?
Who?
The babies.
No.
Then you have to like them. It's like if your nieces, your nephews, then let me get your monster, but like otherwise.
Dude, you know how I knew like I was very biased with babies? So I was at a party where it was baby shower, sorry.
Oh my God. I was at a party for babies.
I was drinking.
Oh, it's a baby shower.
I was trying to remember what it was, but I was getting lit, so I forgot. I brought a gift. I didn't give a fuck. And it was Latino, so like you gotta go because they're gonna feed you. But anyway.
Yes, they are.
There was a bunch of kids there, and there was only one kid that really got me going, because you know when you see a cute kid, sometimes there's just one kid that activates you. I was kind of like, and then my friend's making it. She was like, oh, you know, she lives in New York. She got a little podcast or whatever. Like, she be talking about sex. She don't want to be around her kids. But there was one that was really cute.
Okay.
And I kept saying to the baby, I didn't even notice. I was like, you know you cute. Don't you know you cute? You the cutest one in here.
You
Wheezy creepy.
Honestly, it's like dogs. I love all
dogs. I hate when a dog is ugly. I'd be real, like, get that little ugly shit away from me.
Damn.
I mean, I have a cat, okay, yes. Yeah. But cats can be ugly, too. And this is really bad, actually, because that was put out here, how people get treated differently by their looks. And we should not be aligning ourselves with
it. It's not like, it's like I'm not letting you in an establishment. I'm just not letting you into
my heart.
No, I
went to clubs. People don't get allowed into clubs.
I'm sorry. If you ugly, it's a no. And if you got ugly dogs, it's different. Like, for example, Troy was here a few weeks ago and she brought her dog. If that dog was ugly, you think he would have been allowed on the couch?
Yeah, you wouldn't have been posting pictures and shit.
And keeping 100. If that dog was ugly, Mandy, you not have been like, I'm sorry, this is CB2. But the dog was cute. So I was like, oh, mommy. I was getting real white.
Yeah.
You were.
Look, we have the dog in here too?
Was it a small dog?
It was a small dog.
I like big dogs, you know what's crazy?
I like big dogs. I think small dogs, they be having a little snot and shit all over their face, or they just be drooling. I'm like, damn, get your little, or they pee when they get excited. Yeah. Ew, control that dog.
Big dogs do that too.
Like, I ain't gonna hold you. My friend Medina got a little ugly ass dog. I be like, Medina,
I think Medina's dog is cute.
I cannot, her dog is not cute. And it's old. So now I'm going old shape. I don't like babies for old things. So look, the dog just be pissing when it comes to, she be like, Mandy, don't get her too excited because then she'll start pissing everywhere. Who likes an animal like that that just start pissing all over your shit?
You fall in love with the dog. I'm trying to find a picture of Medina's dog. I remembered it being cute, but now that I can't find a pic, maybe it is an ugly dog.
Well, you got a cute animal. You post it a lot. That's why I be posting my cat Bodie all the time.
Your cat is cute.
My cat is cute.
Bro, let me see. I'm now in April 25th of 2020. I cannot find Medina's fucking dog.
Do you have an animal, by the way?
I'm fostering cats right now, so I have one.
Fostering cats? Till when?
This is a real white person
shit. Someone?
I'm not gonna lie, that's why I haven't got a second cat.
It is the best deal ever because the foster agency, they pay for everything. They like all the vet bills, the food, all that. And then I just get a new cat every couple months.
But you don't become attached to your cat?
This one I did, and I was very close to adopting him. But I decided that like I went in this to foster. My partner's also allergic, and he's agreed that like I can foster as long as there's a period of time in between the cats and I clean more.
The first story she has, I'm sorry, is
of it.
Pretty for the weekend and got a new toy. Come here, mama.
Shy is not cute.
Oh, you too cute to show us your cat.
She is not cute.
You're too cute.
No, she's not.
That dog don't like you, does
it? You know what? This is like when a person has a baby and they just think their baby's the cutest. And then it's just like, your baby is not cute, but a person ain't going to say their baby ugly.
Of course.
Unless they realize bitch like me. But
So you go out to someone and tell somebody baby's ugly?
I just be like, I just don't say anything.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
Yeah,
that's
like,
nice. You see?
Like, and you know your baby is cute when I be like, damn, I don't even like kids, but you got a cute baby. That's my compliment.
Or if it's same. like a funny looking dog or baby or cat, like those, they're fun because then they're just expressive.
Like imagine
like a bulldog.
They're expressive.
They got character.
And then she took her hand away. They're expressive.
I'm thinking of these gremlin looking cats. They're called Devon Rexes, and they look like little gremlins. They're so cute.
You little ugly pussy. Let me see. Yeah, I don't know if I want nothing egg.
Well, see,
up around me, because I told you I'm even shallow with my nigga.
You can't do like an ugly animal because then when it does something bad, you really gonna beat his ass. You know what I'm saying? And like, I'm not trying to be that fucked up a person. But when you got, but, like,
you are not sitting here excusing animal abuse as long as it's
not
on the
animal
ugly
abuse,
animal.
But like, you gotta give him a little on the butt when they shit somewhere. But if you're cute, I'm gonna be like, now.
You know what?
I just snap at him.
Wait, this is a Devon Rex. Is this the Dr. Evil cat?
No, they're not hairless.
They're like a sheep kind of a feel. But
I see what you mean. Yeah. This isn't ugly. It's just fun.
It's funny.
No, I do like their eyes.
These are
bad. That looks like a sphinx.
Type in ugly cat.
No, we're not doing that. This is not. You know what? We're going to get into our
talking about sex. Other kinds of pussy.
I was about to say, we're going to get back into talking about sex, guys.
This should be fun, man. I love a little, you know, commentary.
You better do that motherfucking shit on for fact's sake. Y'all can go listen to all the random shit over there on Tuesday. We're going to talk about sex. So the horrible decision, of course, is squirting a load. I wanted to start off by actually discussing myths about squirting. I have three. Mm-hmm. One I'm going to remove because we talked about pee early on, so I'm not going to ask that. But I wanted to ask you because this was actually mentioned on the Poor Minds podcast. Shout out to Drea and Lex. And they said that they found, and I'm not sure what research they did, but squirting is a genetic trait. Not everyone has the capability to squirt. Would you say that this is true, false? What have you heard about this? Because they was on there saying, if you squirting, your grandmama squirt, your mama squirt, and it's a genetic trait.
Maybe. There's plausibility to that.
You want
to
check one?
My mom squirts.
Your mom?
Yeah.
How did that conversation come about?
I asked her because I was like, I need to know. Because what happened was I had a friend, she squirted, her sister squirts, mom squirts. I have another friend, she squirts, mom squirts. So I was like, all right, mom, I got to know for science.
What is up with the last 2 weeks of content? Mother-daughter swing club, mother-daughter squirts. That sounds like a fucking OnlyFans title.
I don't think that, right? She did never do that. She probably hates that I'm talking about this right now. But she didn't start doing it until like her late 30s.
It's cool. Yeah. Hey, if you listen, if you know her mama, call her mama squirter.
Oh, yeah.
I squirt until mama squirter. this summer of last year.
I didn't squirt till I was like 26. I know a lot of people who don't start squirting until, especially like after they have a kid, because it's because they have to relearn their vagina because it just changed. So they form a new relationship with it. So I don't think there's a genetic disposition, but there's definitely something to that, because that's weird.
Big dicks are genetic.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
No, I'm going to tell you how I know.
It's not. And I'm going to tell you how I know it's not.
You fucked brothers.
Oh, yeah. So one was big and one was not.
My ex-boyfriend, his brother's gay. And my ex-boyfriend's dick was fucking huge. And this Venezuelan dude, and mind you, they have like, I think it's number 3 of like top dicks, big dicks in the world for countries. Don't ask how I know.
What's number 1 and 2?
It was the Congo and something else. But 3 was Venezuela. But the Congo was number 1.
Congo was 1.
So anyway, I'm with his brother's husband, and his brother's husband's a hot fucking mess. And hello. So I was like, yo, keep it on it. It's his dick. And he was like, girl, I've been wanting to ask you. He was like, this is huge. I was like, really? He's like, the biggest dick I've ever seen. And at the time, it was the biggest dick I'd ever seen. And I was like, so it's true. He was like, brothers have big dicks. And now I just feel like for the future, it's something to know.
Well, I would say it's nothing to know.
Who had the bigger dick? The shorter one?
The taller one. Well, they was both tall. One was 6'7", one was 6'4". And the one that was 6'7" had a thick ass dick. The other one, no.
Who did you fuck first?
I actually took one of their virginities. Hey. Which is that crazy.
Was it the little one?
So maybe
one?
It just wasn't big because it also didn't last long. Because
who went first? The big or the small dick?
The big dick. The small dick, I fucked him after.
So that's a disappointment.
Did you do it to see the difference?
No, I actually didn't. This is just some really ho shit, and this is not about me. We're going back to squirting, guys. I didn't want to start the story. Like, I didn't want to tell the story.
I would love to have a threesome with siblings.
I would have liked to have both of them. Of course, after I found out one wasn't very hanging, that fantasy.
You could go on your butt.
Quickly,
you know,
left. You know.
Find really? A hole, Mandy.
This is what we're doing.
I mean,
this is what we're doing.
That's what's the same fucking porn star that talked about the squirt. Who was it?
Oh.
What was her name? Lip something?
Oh, Luscious Lips.
No. Oh, my God, this is fucked lips. Up.
Luscious. It wasn't Luscious Lips. Lips. It was Lips. Look up.
But basically,
one of our people with Lips.
We had a home mail where somebody was like, oh, he has a little dick. What do I do? And she was like,
it is Luscious Lips.
Luscious Lips, right?
She was like, this is perfect. This is a great opportunity for you to fuck him. No, for him to fuck you in the ass. She was so serious. Right?
And I mean, girl, seriously.
You got to look at the size and shape. Be like, where would this fit well?
In the booty hole? Mm. The next question I wanted to ask you, we talked about, again, about it not being pee, but a lot of people fear even trying to squirt because they feel like it will ruin their sheets. Is that true that it will ruin your sheets or what?
Masturbation is really fucking annoying right now for exactly that reason. Now, like, there are things that you can do where you can put, I say fuck a towel because I'm going to destroy a towel. They're just like,
and they're so say, small. They're
that's
so
how
small.
Much you squirt.
That lay down do a towel shit is bullshit.
No, I don't. But you can buy my squirting series and you'll be able to see me squirt there for the low price of $99.
Squirting series, what is it?
It's an educational series. So I'm a sex educator, and it's a 5-part series. Tiana's in it. Tiana's in all of
that
it.
That was in. Hold on, and it's called. Hold on, I have it here. Is that
Wait,
quick and dirty?
Tell
squirting?
Us the name. Yeah. Mandy said it's called.
I was like, okay.
Bitch, it's hers.
I know, but it was in my outline to ask about. It was the quick and dirty squirting.
It's called Quick and Dirty. We have one on pegging, squirting, and then I'm filming the next one that's going to be on wrestling and erotic asphyxia.
So is it like video clips where basically we're watching you talk through it like as a, like a course type thing? What is it?
It's So there's like 5 parts to it. So there's a part where we address myths and what I call questions I'm tired of answering. And we talk about anatomy, pelvic floor. I've fucking paid an animator to make an animated like cat masturbating to replicate myself.
I was like, are you wearing a thong and boy shorts? Oh, I see it. Oh, cute.
Yeah, I think that's just part of the whatever the robe
thing. No. I see it now. So damn, and you're on the floor. Is it because it's easier to clean up?
Yeah, actually, so in my future, like, dream home, I want to have, like, an outdoor space that has, like, a cement floor with, like, a covering over the top, so that way I can just power wash it when I'm done.
I feel like I have to pee
not
right now.
Not power washing it.
But, yeah, puppy pads, there's, like, squirter blankets that you can throw in the washer and dryer, but it
are they
is,
on Amazon? Like, squirter blankets?
There's one by Liberator.
That's the best sex one. Blankets or sex sheets.
There's a couple of other ones. I'm working on a product now that's, like, going to be a disposable one that looks nicer.
Nice. What's the fabric that is the best for like squirting? Like, if for you to, like, I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't know what the Liberator one is made out of, but I say it feels like a shitty velour. It's like, it's a baby blanket.
And
a
it's
baby
expensive.
One.
It's similar. $120.
It says, yeah. Soft microfiber, and the other side is silky satin.
Read a review.
Sure.
The satin side is not for squirting on, though. That's just the other side of it.
Ah, okay.
Let's... But, like, that changed my life. I found that on, like, FetLife after I was just, like, squirting buckets. I was like, there has to be a better solution.
Oh, my God. Please read the 2 out of 5 at the top.
It's soft. It's comfortable. But it's kind of like a velour-wrapped tarp.
Which is what you kind of just...
If all you're catching is a little bit of wet or spilled lube and whatnot, definitely not squirting, you're good to go. Great product. So much easier to wash than the whole sheet set. But if you're dealing with a prolific squirter, not so great.
Look.
Protected sheets, yes, but you're still stuck with the mess portion of it because there's almost zero absorption. Given the hype these things were given, I accepted.
Damn, well, just say you're doing golden showers. Say you fucking with a squirter. That's what he should have said. I was looking for a solution with a squirter. Right. Okay, so yeah, it's exactly what you just said.
Yeah, especially if you don't have that. Like, I'm soaking through mattress pads. Like, it gets bad, and like, I always just worry about it because I don't feel like dealing with it later. I feel bad for the person that I'm with.
And so, what about it ruins sheets? Is it
doesn't? It just makes them very wet, and then like there is like a smell that's left behind of it, but like it's very wet.
But then these are for people that just don't want to wash their sheets after having sex, because I know that that's something that I'm experiencing now,
and it might like, go because through of, the sheets too.
Yeah, like, and that's where I'm just like, I know I got to wash and dry now, but like, I hate how much I'm washing sheets.
I just fuck with puppy pads mostly now too. It has this like gel in it that soaks it up. And like, I might need to change out the puppy pad a couple times with the new one, but that.
And she's cute. So you see, you don't get mad at the mess.
What do you mean? Oh, no. My nigga is fine. And I'll get mad at the mess. I still get mad at the mess. Like, my man is gorgeous. And I'd be like, damn, nigga, I just put, you knew these sheets was clean because I let him know, like.
But it's your squirt.
It don't matter. Like,
you act like he shit the bed.
Yeah, but I still don't want to, like, but it's not only my squirt. Like, he likes to come on me. So then there's come on the sheets. There's drool. There's a lot of just.
Where would you like him to come for the cleanest situation?
I really do not know. And he comes like 3 to 5 times every time we fuck.
Because I love a cream pie, but.
So what do? But even if you just lay there sometimes.
One of my favorite moves is having them do a cream pie and then having them eat it out afterwards. But I'm a dom, so.
I love that. Have you had a partner that done that?
No, I haven't had
that. It's so hot.
I wish.
I'm down for that. Just women. I'm so down for that.
But honestly, I feel like I date guys that are just like way too.
I told you, I still want a guy to like nut on me and lick it up and then kiss me after. Yes, that's like the type of shit that I'm.
No, wait, that's not snowballing. Snowballing. Swapping.
Yeah. Swapping. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you.
That's cleaning up the mess they made.
Come clean.
That's so. I wanted to ask you.
What a fun job.
What is the worst experience you have with squirting?
Mm. Oh, the worst.
Did a man ever get mad at you for, you know, doing it and he wasn't ready and didn't know what the fuck happened? Did he think you pissed on him? Like, what was the worst, which I think that happens. Like,
oh, all the time.
Yeah. Like,
or people will be like, can you not do it anymore? Or they're like, oh, now I have to clean this up. Or they just leave and they come back with cleaning products and I'm still naked with like cum on my head.
I actually feel a little bad right now because I dated someone that was talking about how he was with someone who squirted and he was like, oh my God, it was so great. But like, yo, like it was just a lot of work for me. And I was like, oh my God, poor you.
Yeah. Right?
I feel bad now.
Was that the worst though? Someone coming with cleaning products? Like, did it make you feel it?
That one wasn't very fun, but I kind of laughed it off. And I think at a certain point I was like, hey, can I get like a towel for the cum? He was a model. So I was just like, hit that.
That was me. I'm not going to lie. When I used to fuck models, literally that's all it became was just like, okay, well, you're fine. I fucked you.
He was the one who threw it in my tit.
The model? Yeah. Okay. I've never had really great sexual experiences with models.
Huh. That was the only good one.
Did you peg him too? You met him on Tinder?
I met him on Tinder.
Was he Australian?
No. He was also very quiet.
I had one guy that I met, the first guy I pegged, he was a model I met on Tinder. And I remember he kept saying he wanted to fit my tits in his mouth. He never did it, but it just hit me.
Maybe it's a model thing.
They're just like, I don't know. I wasn't really into fucking models. No shade to the models, but like, I just found them to be exactly what you think they would be.
I feel like they just don't work as hard.
Not only do they not work as hard, they be dumb. So I really like
that. That's what I meant.
I like to have conversations after sex. And with them, I didn't want them to say a word.
Oh, my photographers and like journalists, writers, that's all my speech. I'm such a talker though.
Yeah, I like to just randomly talk. I did want to get into home mail before we get up out of chill. If you guys have not sent us a home mail, or if you have a question, go ahead and send it now to us at horribledecisions@gmail.com. I'm hoping you can give some insight on this. The subject matter is help me out, MMF. Hello, ladies. Love your show. Started listening to your podcast back in October of 2020, and I'm finally caught up. Bitch, that's a lot of listening in 5 months. Hopefully, I can keep this short. Me and my beautiful lady have been together over 6 years, getting married in March this year. Congratulations. Nice. Both 22 years of age. Damn, Nate.
What?
They young as fuck, bruh. Okay, more power to you. So around the time I started listening to the podcast, my girl asked me for an MMF threesome. At the time, I wasn't up for it, but after thinking about it and having talks with her, I came to agree. Honestly, I think it would be a really fun experience. Here's the dilemma. It's been about 6 months since she's asked me. She'll tell me that she found a guy, and I'll say, cool, when do you want to set it up? And most of the time she says, I don't know. I think it comes from her being insecure because she is on the plus size side. I think she's fucking amazing, but at times she makes comments about her weight and stuff. I tell her if you want to change, you have to work on it. Anyways, my question is, how can I get her to actually commit to the threesome? Because now I low-key want to, because I think it would be fun just to see her interact with another man sexually. I'm going to be the quote-unquote leader in the session. I'm a straight male, so the guy is not there for me, just for her. Feel free. Okay. I know Wheezy asked for Instagrams. I'll share the Instagram just because I don't want to put both of theirs out now. And then also, would you guys suggest raw or condom for this MMF experience?
You know what we suggest.
I want to take this into two parts. I think that you feel as though maybe she's not bringing up this threesome anymore because you feel like she's insecure about her weight. And I think that, I don't know, maybe that needs to have a conversation definitely before bringing anyone else into the bedroom, because maybe it's not the reason. He literally said, yeah, I think it comes from her being insecure because she's plus size. I wouldn't say that.
Didn't sound he was up for the threesome first. Maybe that's
we don't turn plus size in a day.
Yeah. So like, Quarantine weight.
Oh, I've heard the numbers associated.
Quarantine 15. That sounds like it rhymes.
Yeah, that sounds about
it. Quarantine 8. Maybe that's where I made that up. But no, like, if you do feel like someone, and anybody listening who feels like your partner is insecure about their weight and you love their weight and you're being genuine about it, then show them. People shy away from telling people how much they love their bodies because they think they're being sensitive about their bodies. And I, for one, am one of them. When my ex-girlfriend had gained weight, I was scared to tell her how sexy she was with the weight because I thought I was like making her feel worse about it in a weird way, but that's so dumb. I don't know why I did that. I was just like, oh my God, we can't talk about it at all. But like, I was like, damn, she got thicker. Like, this shit is sexy as fuck. But I couldn't say anything because I just felt like bringing it up would trigger her. I think that's totally wrong. And I only know now because she's pregnant. We're not together, but I'd be telling her how good she looks. She'd be like, girl, thank you. But like, people do need to know that and hear that. So absolutely. If it's on your mind, then say it. If you find her attractive and if it's honest, don't lie.
Yeah, because I'm playing into conventional ideas of like, oh, she's plus size, she must be insecure.
She must be insecure, and that's what I don't like about him saying it.
That's a projection.
Because
I
would also say the insecurity may really lie, and which most women do think that aren't as sexually liberated, is that you as a partner, as a man, is going to judge her once this threesome does happen because there's another man in the room. So the fact that you're saying you low-key now want to have it, if this is something you really do want to have with your partner, I think that this is now a time to let her know how much you love the idea of pleasing her with another man and how you won't judge her, and liberate her to know that you're not really going to think differently of her after you do this. I would say that that's probably where the insecurity lies more so than her weight. Like my weight has gone up and down my entire life. I don't think that my weight would have ever stopped me from having an MMF threesome. Like I actually did have MMF threesome.
It wouldn't have stopped me.
I was going to take them dicks whether you had these roles or not.
She brought it up, so clearly it wasn't stopping her.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what it is at all.
I don't think it's her weight at all.
But I do think like body image can definitely like trigger someone for a threesome. And I know that because like when I was in a throuple, like I would remember like I was fucking working out like crazy during that week.
But like, you were also in the bed with another woman. So I feel like innately we do kind of sometimes compare ourselves to another woman.
That was my girl. Other way. It's like when I'm like fucking another woman, it's just like we're so different and it's so hot. And like we're like even just the way I feel a woman come. It's
I think right. guys are even checking me out more though.
Yeah, so, but to me, I got a pussy. Them niggas only want a hole anyway. So you got the mouth.
If I'm gonna get competitive, it's about like dick sucking.
Nah,
but it's not gonna be about like. Yeah, no.
I don't think I'm insecure though. My weight has never like really determined like how many dicks I wanted to take. I'll tell you that.
Here's what I think happened with this couple. Because commonly what happens, like this person brought up to her partner and was just like, hey, I want to have an MMF. That's brave. That's first off brave.
That is
brave.
Because
she doesn't know how he's going to take it. And he honestly ended up taking it very well. So he said that he wasn't interested at first. So she probably is like, okay, I'm not going to bring that up again. And that's why she's not bringing it up again.
Look how does.
Yeah, we're making this shit a whole fan fiction story. Like, well, what really happened was.
I would also say as well, this is someone that you plan on marrying. I don't even know why the question was there. 100%, the other man should wear a condom because you definitely don't want him to get a little pre-jizz up in that pussy. And then you out here married to a woman carrying the baby of another man.
Yeah, I think that just STDs is a great go-to.
Well, that too. I would definitely say
like the pre-jizz and then you already married. So then you can't really do it. And then you're going to have an abortion. He's not going to want to go with you because it might not be his.
Damn.
That's really what you just did.
You just did.
Other advice, though, especially for threesomes. I teach classes on threesomes because I've had so many good and really bad ones.
We get so
really
sick of threesome
ones.
Questions, actually.
But in general, I mean, and this is for kink or anything, but focus on, especially with these two people talking, of how you want to feel. And then you'll be able to tell, like, what kind of threesome you want. So if she wants to feel, like, adored, then it's like, yeah, both of your attention on her. If does Great she want to feel used, maybe Eiffel Tower her.
Hmm. Oh, I never thought of that. What is the feeling that she wants?
Threesome advice I've ever heard on
that really is. And we gave a whole bunch of bullshit threesome advice and never gave this one because I never thought about that. How do I want to feel?
Yeah, I want you to like when we get in there, right? Like make me feel like a fucking whore. But the second I'm finished, like, you know what I mean? Like hold me. Because I'm not a whore.
You're not?
Look, no, I am. But like, you know what I'm saying? Just like treat me nicely. Like I need a lot of aftercare after really nasty shit. Like nasty shit. Hold me.
I think that is one of the advice we have given. Like, I think we all think of when we ask about threesomes, what this looks like. And in terms of feeling, yes. Why do you want it? And we
feeling
all
will determine what it looks like.
But not only that, what does it look like after? And we talked about that too. Like, does this person stay? Does this person cuddle as well? Like, is there any sort of attention that we plan to give them after? Is it like, and
especially
I think that we don't have
the dynamic of a couple and then a third.
Yes.
As the person who's like literally always the third.
And I'm trying to get a unicorn in now and I have no fucking clue, but I have a partner now where I think, and he's like, he's convinced I just want a unicorn because he's like, just say you want pussy. Like, that's what you want one for. And I'm like, no, but you're a partner that we communicate so well. If it's any time for me to try non-traditional type of relationship, you know, paths, I would want that to be with you to
What's
see.
What's your favorite number of people to have sex with?
One. But I did have a really good time with 8.
5? Why 5?
Because no one's ever left out.
Wait, really?
Oh, because it's 6?
Just because, I don't know, there's just like combinations. There could be like 2 and 3, all 5. And like, it just is like a good number.
I did 8 one time and it was really good. It was at NSFW. There was me and my partner and then 3 other couples. And I thought that was cool too. I would say I would like even numbers.
Hmm.
But now that you say it, there was 2 girls on him. So there was always a guy left out. I would say there was definitely always a guy left out.
Because I just be like masturbating. So
I like being the center of attention.
Total cuck queen.
That's
I love a good cuckold.
And honestly, there was a girl I had sex with Old Bear. I remember well, I was going to say last year, but it wasn't. We were fucking everybody in last lap during 2019. Oh, and seriously, that's like where all the threesomes happen. And this girl was like really confused. She felt like I wasn't happy that she was there because I kept pushing away. But I was like, no, like, I don't think you understand. Like, yeah, I like making out. Cool. But like, I just really need to masturbate to this. And I felt bad because she was like stopping having sex. And I'm like, no, go do this. Do you want me to be a cheerleader, bitch?
Oh, you're great. A whole cuck then, for real.
Oh my God, I love
it. Do you give direction or do you like them
illustrate? Just, if you can talk to me, talk to me. I come so fast in threesomes, it's sick. Like, it's so bad.
I think when I was in a throuple, someone hates that you say that all the time. How easy you come. I come so much.
Let me explain. Like, lucky you. I say that because sometimes I'm completely wiped out. So it is very exhausting when you come quick and you're like, oh, it took a lot out of you because I don't know which one I'm going to have.
We're always going to be jealous of someone else's sexual
experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
But I want to come quick, but some people don't squirt quick. So, you know.
But if I didn't come quick, then I could last longer. But sometimes I come and I'm like, oh my God, I can't. It feels so bad. Like I'm a giver, but I literally can't even lift my
hand. Oh yeah, that'd be me. I'd be like
sit on my face.
I'd be like, my nigga, I'd be like, all right, that's it. I'm done. I'm tapped out. I'd be tapping out.
I'd be tapped, but then I'll just like watch. That's when I prefer to watch is after I've already been like fucked out. And I also just prefer to watch. I like watching men suck dick. That's my thing.
Oh, see, I have yet to do that.
Have I what?
Do you have a lot of bi threesomes? Like,
that is my preference. But like, I'm really into one of my favorite submissives is a cuckold, and like, I'm really into also creating these like moments with him where it's like a bi threesome, but then there's a power dynamic.
You mean forced bi threesomes?
Forced bi, or it's like, or he's the cum butler.
Consensual forced bi threesome.
Yeah, consensual forced.
So if you guys want to actually like look that up, what she's talking about, I watch it. So
I do watch that as well.
Forced bi threesomes are like so fire because you be like, come and eat it out of him. Like,
eat it out of me. Yeah, that should be good.
All right. Anyway, if you guys enjoyed our podcast, go on to our Patreon. Horrible decisions. It's the backslash because you can't search it because we're horrible.
It's the backslash.
But Lola, I think I'm going to buy your series. That sounds really fun to watch. I'm excited to see it.
Do you want me to give y'all like a code for horrible decisions listeners?
Hell yeah, that'll work.
Want to make it up right now?
Yeah. What do you want it to say? What do you want it to be?
Whore-hive.
Horrible. Whore-hive?
Whore-hive. Let's make it. Whore-hive.
Whore-hive.
How much do they get off?
We'll put it in the description of this episode.
We'll put it in the description of this episode.
And let everyone know too where they can find you, where they can find your site, and anything related to the even courses and stuff that you give.
Yeah, so it's lolajean.com, and then my handle for everything is lolajean.com with the DOT spelled out. And there's like everything from dominatrix like learning series to like pegging workshops, and there's
just love a good sex ed class.
I love
also if
it.
You're tired and run through of Mandy and I on horrible decisions, check us out on our other podcast every Tuesday. There's For Fact's Sake with Eddie DeLiseppe, and we talked about piss and shit last week. Yeah,
and then you guys can always check out on Mondays right after you listen to Horrible Decisions, my Period Sis podcast that is presented by my company Official Box Owner. If you guys are watching on YouTube, you see two of my products here on the table. I have launched my own products. So I have apple cider vinegar gummies, as well as boric acid suppositories, and hopefully getting a CBD lube by the end of the year.
Those are three fantastic things.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So I'm really working on bridging.
Lola's ready to put them in right now.
Yeah. I'm really working on bridging the gap between feminine hygiene and the bedroom, because I think both go hand in hand, and we don't really.
Let's bridge more gaps,
know
how much, man.
You know?
Come and use all of those products at What the Fuck Media Studios, where have learned.
I don't know if you want them to use the boric acid.
They just have to put it in their mouth, right?
No,
not the boric acid.
I was looking at the gummy.
By the way, please read the instructions, because boric acid, although they are vegan capsules, should not be taken orally. They should be suppository.
Also, lube them up a little bit. Sometimes they get sticky when they go in, because I use two. I use a boric acid suppository and I use tea tree. And those slide in, but the boric acid, I've noticed, I may have to spit on it sometimes. So I'd be like, look, she's sticking to my puss.
Yeah, and then also on Tuesdays, guys, you can go on over and listen to me at See the Thing Is with my bomb ass co-host, my dog, Bridget Kelly. She was also a guest here on Horrible Decisions talking about how she is a cheater. So y'all can go back into that archive and listen to her talk about being a cheater. But also we're going to leave you guys with a 5-minute bonus clip. Before we also go out, one moment, I want to give a shout out to one of our listeners. Her name is, because she wrote me, well, actually, her friend wrote me. Shout out to Brandon. But shout out to Brianna Myers. Brianna Myers recently broke up with her nigga, and I just want to give a round of applause for breaking up with your nigga. So shout out to Brianna Myers.
Before we like, yeah, breaking up with him.
Yeah, just break up with any nigga that ain't treating you right all 2021, y'all. Break up with them niggas. Anyways, watch us on YouTube. Follow us on all of our social media platforms, and we are going to leave you guys off with a 5-minute bonus clip of our bonus content, and we hope that you enjoy. And this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Bye.
Old Bay finally redeemed himself with that shitty ass friends or angels card.
That's hilarious.
Oh my God.
How did he redeem it? What was the card?
So I wasn't really hinting at it. He says I was hinting at it. I felt like I wasn't, but I've been wanting to buy a Prada bag. I just was kind of confused which one. But he got me the Saint Laurent bag. And in the card, he put, "Even though I'm super Prada of you, Saint Laurent will look better. Love you." And I was
that
like,
that is hilarious.
Now I'm not an angel anymore. Nah, I had a really cool birthday, man. I had a really cool video that Andrew and Charlotte jumped in for, like, birthday message, and Akash, it was so adorable.
I saw that was super cute.
Yeah, it was really cute. I felt really bad because I didn't plan on doing anything for Alex's birthday, but after I saw the video, I booked a flight to go see him. And then I came home, had to work. It was just a lot, but it was a cool birthday because I mean, you had your 30th, but I know it's probably the same feeling. Like, just being around people you care about is really nice.
Well, I mean, that was the most important thing for me. And of course, I mean, my 30th birthday, the actual day I was flying back from Mexico to New York because I had to record the following day. And then, of course, I celebrated my 30th birthday in a hurricane with the people I loved. So
it doesn't really matter, right? It's like wherever you're at.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I look back on it now, and my 30th birthday, like, week, literally, I sold out my very first e-commerce subscription box. You and I, like a week before, announced our signing to Black Effect. The week of, I signed with Joe Budden's network for the other pod. And I literally, 3 months later, I moved. And so the way I entered my 30s was far beyond any way in which I would, because I also came back to someone that I truly love and that supports me. And I don't think at any point in time, even starting this podcast, that I think I would enter my 30s financially secure and in love with a partner and doing what I truly love to do. And I know that right now you have so much going on with your studio, with the TV show, with this podcast, and to be just 30 and realizing as well that everyone around us is a decade older than us. We're so afar in being able to enjoy the fruits of our labor at such a younger age than everyone else around us. And it's been incredible. I'm not going to lie. I entered my 30s, like, just super blessed. And I couldn't imagine being where I am today. I definitely didn't imagine me having a nigga. I'll tell y'all that.
Nah, man. And like, it's that 30. That's interesting. I forgot about you selling out the box the week of your birthday. Yeah. Like,
yeah, it was on the
doing the Breakfast Club, yeah, on the same day of wrapping my first TV show. Like, and then my birthday.
It literally was the same day, by the way.
Yo, like, that's why my makeup was
done.
Because
I ain't gonna hold you. And I ain't gonna hold you, bitch. You came in with your makeup, B. And I was like, all right, this bitch is trying to upstage me or Breakfast Club.
No, but I also knew.
But I also knew you had already said, because you were trying to find out when we were going to leave, I knew that it was your last day of shooting. And again, knowing that the next day it was your birthday. And these are the milestones that we've reached both in the week of our 30th, I think it's also telling and almost foreseeing of what both of our futures life as
that for our 30s. Was the dopest thing. And about that whole thing is just seeing what's happening, like, just on the 30th, to know we hit this milestone. But yes, it's funny with the makeup, because we recorded the Breakfast Club
we had to come in at 8 for COVID testing, bitch.
She came and did my makeup at 6:15, right?
Can I be honest with you? That's the only reason why I keep Keiko. Shout out to Keiko. Keiko, we met during our Salty shoot. She's the only person that when I need her will show up and come to me. These other artists, be bitch, if I come to you, it's another, it's an additional $300. Like these makeup artists be crazy with their fucking travel
prices.
Let
me tell you something. Nigga. When you fuck with a makeup artist, and this is one reason that to me it hit me, she getting paid, I'm not going to say how much, but five times what I pay her. She's about to have TV credits. She was on payroll, travel expenses covered, meals. Like she did my makeup for, and I paid a decent rate. I would say average for New York or whatever, but like you will look out, bro, because we're both about to be bigger than we are. And when she did fucking 12 rounds of makeup on set and has all this shit now, now she can charge more and has a portfolio. And that's
why I mean, I ain't called you Letitia. So I sold pretty much the team that was for our Salty shoot. I loved how they made my hair and makeup look. I said, ooh, I like y'all. Mm-hmm. I used them for as much as I could in that first year. And bitch was throwing them pennies, what I could afford them.